Welcome to Email and Beyond, the podcast bringing you all the latest email marketing and other complementary marketing channel tips, tricks, industry chat, brand insights, and more every 2 weeks. Join me, Kate Barrett, founder and CEO of eFocus Marketing, and Richard Wald, marketing campaign manager at Spotler, as we talk you through the good, the bad, and the ugly of marketing and how you can create a more intelligent strategy that gets results.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Email and Beyond with me, Richard, and Kate Barrett. And today we're going on a really B2C topic. We'll do a B2B version of this some other point in the series as well. And we're going to talk about the top three automations that all e-commerce businesses should have in place in order to boost their conversion. So, Kate, should we keep it really simple? What are we talking about? When we say an automation, what do we mean?
Yeah, great question. So an automation is an email, or of course, you can be bringing in SMS, WhatsApp, retargeting within that as well. But an automation is something that triggers from an action or an inaction and then sends a series based on that. So it's something you can set up. Yes, you've got to test and optimize. You can't just forget about it. But once it's set up, it is there running for you in real time when it's the right time for the customer. So automations for me really are right message, right person, right time.
Great. Okay. So start from the top. What's your number one? What's the one that every business absolutely has to have, no questions asked, regardless of who they are and what they're doing?
Okay. So if you're an e-commerce business, the first thing that I look at before I answer your question directly, I'm going to go a little bit of a tangent, is thinking about the customer journey, thinking about the customer life cycle through from acquisition to consideration and thinking about using your product or service through to purchase, loyalty, and then reactivation. So what we really want to look at is if you want to know which automation to start with and, you know, which is my top one that I would recommend, what we've got to look at is what is closest to the point of conversion. Right. Because that's where you're going to have, and I hate the term, but the most low-hanging fruit that you can kind of jump in. Absolutely. Oh, do you know, I saw this thing about a human fruit machine, actually. So we should do this generally. But you have three people lined up, right, and they kind of, they ring the bell, and then they go, and then they pick out a piece of fruit. So human fruit machine. But we're not randomly kind of betting on what we're doing here. We're not a human fruit machine. We want to go in focused to that point that's closest to conversion. So the very first automation I would set up for any e-commerce business, abandoned basket. It's the closest to that initial point of conversion. It's the closest in terms of the psychology, the intent of that subscriber, that potential customer. So I would definitely start there. And I think the biggest mistake that people make with these emails is sending one. Just sending one is not going to cut it. It is not going to give you those results. It's not going to help your audience move through and move through that process to then go through and buy. So it's about expanding it beyond that and understanding what they need.
Right. So if you've got multiple versions, the next question is how often? Because it's very, if I've found something for the most common use case for me is going to be buying birthday presents for my wife because she never wants anything. It's a lovely trait in a human, but it's really annoying when her birthday comes. What would you like for Christmas birthday? I don't mind. It's not, something nice.
It's not that she doesn't want anything, Richard. It's that she wants you to know what it is that she wants without her saying it. And this is what customers want, right?
Yes,
in our marketing as well. They want us to know.
Yes. So, okay. the Relationship Counseling Podcast to be focused on Spotler will be coming soon. So, where I was going with this is I'll be flicking through Instagram, through TikTok, whatever it is, and I'll see them and go, oh, I think you would like that. But go on the website, have a look around. I'm not going to buy it now. Her birthday's in February, and we're recording this in, what are we, September. So I'm not going to buy it for 3 or 4 months. And my most common habit is viewing browser, just leave the tab open for months at a time. Because I won't remember.
One of those.
I'm not a bookmarks person. I need the prompt to be there. But the point is, if you're selling plaques, for example, I decided to get her a plaque to commemorate when she got her degree. Right. And if I go on the page today and you email me in a week going, oh, what about this plaque you're going to buy? No, too early. But I probably do need a reminder in 3 months' time. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, so generally I've got some advice. I think that's a very specific use case you've got there, Richard. With your browsing information there. I think that's a more difficult one, but I think if you are the type of business that you see that your audience buy as gifts for people, you can definitely use that behavior. You can use that in segmentation for different times of the year. You can use that for then prompting what comes next. But that comes from having the data to know that they were potentially looking for a gift, buying for a gift, they've got somebody, their significant other's birthday coming up. So I think in order to look at the timing for that specific use case, we'd need to bring some more data in. If we think about abandoned basket generally, and when people aren't doing it 6 months in advance, and it's something that they might want, you know, now that they're looking for, which would be in most instances, what we need to be thinking about is kind of three different time frames with it. So the first is on the day that they abandon their basket. The next one is 24 hours later. And the next one is kind of 48, 72 hours later. So day three, day four afterwards. Now, what we really need to think about this is the difference in mindset between day one and day four. Because like you said, people are browsing, they're having a little look. They may have found something that they think, oh, okay, and they've added it to the basket, which has given us the trigger for this campaign. But obviously, most common reasons are they've got distracted, they've had to go and pick up the kids from school, they've been, you know, going out for dinner, whatever it is, and then haven't made the purchase. But in general, that's not the reason why people don't make the purchase. That's probably a very small percentage of people that fall under that. What it usually is, and look at this for your business, go and speak to your customer services teams, go and speak to other teams within your business and find out the reasons for your business. But it could be that the checkout process, there was something wrong with it, something that didn't make sense. Maybe it was too long. Maybe it was too difficult to complete. Maybe it was that they were surprised by the postage cost that came up. They weren't ready for that. Maybe it's just they weren't quite ready to buy and they were still in research mode, still hadn't found quite what they wanted. Maybe they're doing price comparisons and they've gone elsewhere to then look at those prices. So what we need to think about is all of these different types of behavior, narrow in on what could be the top reasons for your business, and then create your series of emails over kind of 3 or 4 days post-abandon that evolves with that. So email one, fine, reminder of what's in your basket, come back, buy it, we don't need to miss out, come through, fine. But after that, if they haven't come through to rebuy, there's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason they haven't. Do they need more help? Do they need some reassurance with some social proof, some testimonials or reviews in those emails? And once they get to kind of 3 or 4 days beyond, they may have gone and found the perfect product for them elsewhere. Sacrilege, I know. But that's okay. And again, we can then evolve that messaging. So instead of just repeating, you've left this in your basket, come back. You've left this in your basket, come back, which doesn't help, evolve that messaging. You may also like these products. Give them that associated upsell, cross-sell kind of element to drive them through. You haven't bought this, but you might like this. So with the abandoned carts, I think that is the core, is understanding your audience, understanding what they need, what their challenges are at that moment. And again, right message, right person, right time.
There we go.
So that's the closest point to conversion, right? So if we're going for the top three that you might want to put in place in terms of automations for e-commerce, we're then thinking back through that. What is the next closest point of conversion? So shall I jump in and give you my second one as well?
I'm on a roll.
So the next one back from abandoned cart is abandoned browse. So here you need technology in place that allows you to track who of your subscribers is coming onto your website and what pages they're going on. Now, depending on what pages they're going on, we've got a few options here. We can use this fantastic information because it's telling us what people want right now, what they're looking for. We can use this for segmentation and personalization in our normal campaigns to give us that interest data, but we can also trigger an abandoned browse series. So if they're on your FAQs page, if they've gone into a certain category but then haven't gone on to add items to their basket and buy, we can follow up that behavior with additional helpful information. So if they've gone on to FAQs, they've obviously got questions. Maybe they don't quite trust the payment process and need to be reassured. Maybe they're not sure on what the delivery process is for your products. You know, start to think about that type of content. If they go to a specific category and don't go on to buy a product, help them explore that category. Give them the inspiration, surface some of those products that they may not have necessarily found. Help them, inspire them, get them to that point where they can then come through to conversion.
I was thinking there was a while I was listening to you ask that, I was thinking of a retailer of mine where I put some shoes in a basket and either browsed or put them in the basket. No, I can't remember which exact one it was, but then the follow-up email I got was shirts that also match those shoes, and that's the kind of thing.
Really,
it's like, I like these shoes, but when will I wear them? What will I wear them with? And I go, oh, they look great with a smart collar and jeans. Okay, so slightly casual office day. Boom, I've got a reason to buy it. Yeah, I see that's a really good example. And I suppose that's the classic thing you probably do is an urgency thing, but I don't think that would work. The whole kind of whenever I see Amazon, weirdly seems to be the point where I was kicking out the studio that we're recording in, and I went to buy the switcher board that lets us connect between the different cameras, and it went, hurry, only 11 in stock. How many people are buying camera switching boards at lunchtime on a Thursday, which is when this was? Yeah. That just feels very false. And are there other kind of missteps that you see people take too often?
Yeah, I think in some cases that does work. It depends. Mm. You know, if you're looking at a toilet seat on Amazon, then it says there's only 11 left, you're going to be like, okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine. I'll get my toilet seat elsewhere if they sell out. Whereas if it's you're selling tickets for something, then saying there's only 10 tickets left, makes you know, I've been doing it recently, and I'm sure all parents do it every year with the Christmas panic to get Santa tickets, right? And you go on and they're like, only one space left. And you're like, no, but I need 3 tickets. It sets me into a panic. It's worse than like Glastonbury or something. Yeah. So I think in some cases that technique does work. But I think in this case, it's more about being helpful and supportive. What do they need next? What are those questions that they're asking? What stops them from going through to make that purchase now? And how can we help? So very similar to like we were saying with abandoned cart, you've got to understand your audience. And this is where, you know, if you want to get really clever with it, layer on more data. What type of customer are they? Is it somebody who's bought from you before versus somebody who's never bought from you before? Because the abandoned browse series or abandoned cart series that you want to send out may differ slightly. Let's say, for example, if it's somebody who's bought before and you know that they always buy at full price, they're not your key audience for sending discounts to. They want something else from you. Whereas somebody who has come in and made their purchases on a discount every single time, they're going to be more price driven. So we can adjust these emails not only based on their behavior and what they're doing on the website at that point to trigger those emails, but the other information that we know about our audiences.
Email and Beyond is a Spotler and eFocus Marketing production. Spotler is the all-in-one sales and marketing software for small and medium-sized businesses. Our suite of products covers email marketing, website personalization and tracking, social media management, and CRM. If you want to find out more about how our software can drive your success, visit spotler.co.uk/email and beyond. So, possible question, it might be more for the B2B episode, but we're going to look at nurtures as well. But when you're talking about layering on more data, what are the kind of legal implications, also the customer perception? Because I think there's still probably a bit of a mismatch between how companies and marketers think about using customer data and how customers feel and think about their data being used. That was one of the things I was thinking about when I was telling my story was, what if the abandoned browse email had event like an ICS download, put a reminder in your calendar for when you want the next email to come. I know, think think that's technically possible, but also does that, as if I'm browsing, I've come to your shop for the first time, think, they want to be in my calendar, no thanks, I don't, no, take a step back. And I don't know if that's a really specific use case for me, like the whole plaque buying thing was, or if that's something you think is shared.
I think it's a difficult one, because I think it depends on your audience, and we're definitely going to do a B2B specific episode about automations, because there's so much you can do for B2B from that side. But I think it comes down to, again, clarity with your audience and understanding what they need. So again, if you've brought those two things together, if you've made it very clear to them when they sign up how you're using their data, which particularly for those of us in Europe, GDPR makes that stipulation. Absolutely. And we won't kind of dig into that now, but it is having the legal side covered, but more than that, it's the human side covered. If someone just says to you, hey, sign up for our emails, you're going to go, no thanks. No, why? Why am I going to do that? But if you have that explanation of, you know, sign up to our weekly emails and you're going to receive all the latest tips, tricks, product inspiration, offers, whatever, you know, again, much better wording than that, but you give them the reason behind it, people are willing to give you data in exchange for something in return. So if we're thinking about reciprocity in terms of the psychological aspect, give me value and I will give you something in return, in this case, their email address. And I think that, you know, there's that initial sign up. And then we've got things like, you know, cookie tracking to be able to do the, you know, abandoned browse. So legally, we need to be thinking about that. But as marketers, we need to be thinking about how do we put this across to our audience to show them the benefits of it. It's not just we're going to track you around the internet and send you a load of messages. It's we want to make sure that what we're sending is targeted to you and makes sense in your world. You know, tell us what you'd like to hear. If you'll allow us to use this data, here's how we're going to use it for your benefit. So I think we firstly need to think about that and setting expectations. And then we need to think about, if we've got this data, how do we use it to best link in with what we want to achieve? So if we want to achieve somebody going on to actually buy the things in their cart, or if they've abandoned browse and we want to encourage them to come back and add things to their cart and then buy, we've got a layer on what do they need to know. So the difference between a previous customer and someone who's never bought from you before, different messaging that they would need. You know, someone who's never bought from you before would need reassurance about the buying process, reassurance about the delivery process, you know, what happens and that information. Somebody who's bought from you before, particularly a VIP, who's bought from you a lot of times before, they don't need that.
They know you already.
Cut that out. Yeah, they know you already. They've been through the process with you. What they need to know is what's the next step for them. What's the next benefit for them? What's the next thing that's going to help them? So adjusting that content not only based on the timing of the trigger, so abandoned cart, abandoned browse, different types of messaging going out, but the customer it's being delivered to, absolutely critical to get the best results. But I don't want to scare anyone off who hasn't implemented any of these before, because if you haven't, then do you know what? A simple 2-email series for your abandoned browse is a really, really great start. But if you are more advanced than that, if you've already got, you know, a basic abandoned cart in place or a basic abandoned browse in place, that's where you want to go to the next level. Layer on that data. Look at how that message would change either completely for different types of subscribers within your list, or even if it's a piece of dynamic content that's going to change as you go through. Tailoring your messages. Again, I'll say it a million times in this episode, but right message, right person, right time. Absolutely critical.
One thing I want to pick up on as you were going through that, we're talking about first-party cookies, not third-party cookies, aren't we?
Yes. So we've got another episode about this coming up soon about the different types of data. But what we're thinking about here is zero and first-party data. So data that you hold about your customers and that they've given you direct permission to do, whereas third-party is tracking across other websites. So we're looking at our data here and how we can really use it.
Sure. Can we just cover what zero-party data is? I think I've got a handle on it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, zero-party data is facts about me, like, you know, age, height, shoe size, star sign, whereas...
Yeah, demographic data, firmographic data, known data that we told each other. Yeah.
And first party is how I interact with your platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So how you interact on the website, how you interact with the emails that are being sent to you, whether you open them, click them, what you click on, what pages you go onto on the website, and then your purchase data as well, of course, your conversion data. So what you've done with the business.
A little bit off topic, but is there a such thing as second party data? Because I've heard zero, I've heard first, I've heard third, and second seems to get... This might be for the next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what second party data would be.
It might be something to do with being passed data from a partner, maybe like kind of co-reg or affiliate, or if it is that, we want to stay away from that. It's not the most reliable data. I mean, it has a place in a B2B strategy, and we'll definitely come back to that in a B2B episode, but particularly for B2C, we don't want to be doing co-reg, we don't want to be doing kind of buying data, and certainly from a legal aspect, it has a whole world of issues.
Okay, I will look up what second party data is. We'll do the data episode later when I've had a chance to read that and make sure it just occurred to me as we were going through. So we've done two out of three, and let's get one more in there, one more automation that's really good for commerce businesses and is just as simple to set up as the other two. What's number three to round off the list?
Okay, number three. So we've gone for the two closest to the point of conversion first off. Now we're going to go back to the very beginning. So we're going to go to your welcome series. So welcome and onboarding series. So after somebody first signs up, not after they make a purchase, that's a whole different series of onboarding. This is someone comes onto your website, signs up for your emails. It's then those first messages that you send after that. So particularly for B2C, what we want to be doing is delivering whatever we offered on that initial promise of sign up. You know, a lot of B2C and e-commerce companies are offering 10% off your first order when you sign up, or free delivery when you sign up. So we need to make sure that that's being delivered. But then what we want to do is, again, understand our audience. So over the first 30 days after somebody subscribes, and we can absolutely layer this with other information from the background of your business, of what is the average time from somebody subscribing to somebody making their first purchase. Now, if that's longer than 30 days, do your welcome series for 30 days, and then we have other automations we can bring in to encourage that first conversion, if they haven't, after the welcome. If it's less than 30 days, then we want to go a little bit harder with that welcome series as well. So look at that data, but generally the first kind of 3 to 4 weeks after somebody signs up is your critical time period. So what you want to do is work backwards. If your end goal is to get them to buy by the end of that welcome series, what are the micro actions that they need to take from the point of sign up to the end of that series? What do they need to know? What do they need to think? What do they need to feel? What do they need to experience? What do they need to be inspired by to get them through to make that first purchase? And then that's how you build up that messaging strategy. So again, with this, what we're not doing is saying email one, thank you, leave them with nothing. We do not want to do that. We want to keep them moving through that journey, you know, explore our key categories, explore our best-selling products. And don't forget, we can use all of this as behavioral tracking to then adjust the following messages in the series and make them even more targeted and personalized. So build up that story, build up that messaging, expose them to different areas of your website and how you can help, the different types of products that you've got, and get them through to that first conversion.
Right. Have you got a case study in mind of someone that's done it before that we can point people towards if they need a little bit more of a, I want to see how it shakes out before I do it?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sure Spotler have got lots on the website, and we'll put some links below. On the eFocus Marketing website, you'll find two different case studies about welcome emails, one from Lease Loco and one from Nonprofit Courses. So they're great to have a little look at. And what was the same in both of those cases, fantastic results. We'll try and get some of those clients on to talk about their results. But it was about understanding their audience, understanding what their audience needed, and then providing that in the right way in that series of emails.
There we go. So follow-up actions, go read those case studies. Links be down below on YouTube. I'm going to try and put them on a little thing here when you're actually watching this. Visit the website, go and build some issues and test them. Whenever someone says to me, oh, does this work? My first result is, I don't know, let's try it and see.
Test it.
in this, if you've got a high performing thing already, what's the worst that could happen if you try something new? I think.
Definitely.
All right. That was another episode of Email and Beyond. We're back in 2 weeks. See you then.
See you soon.
If you liked this episode, please follow us on YouTube and subscribe through iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.